Morning. Our lives are full of relationships. Every single person in here has at least 50 plus relationships sitting in this room. All kinds of relationships. Relationships are a living, changing, evolving thing. Relationships aren't like mathematics. Mathematics, there's one answer. And you arrive at this answer by an equation. So, 2 plus 5 equals 7. And it doesn't make any difference how you arrange that. It always comes out the same. 5 plus 2 is 7. But when it comes to people, things just don't add up. You can take a class in school, you can read a self-help book, you can watch Dr. Phil till you're blue in the face. And when you're finished, it is quite possible that you still won't know the answer to your relationship dilemmas. The Bible is full of information directly from the Creator of relationships on how to relate with one another. The Bible is full of that, our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. But we keep messing it up time after time. There is a key component that must be present in a relationship for it to thrive and for it to grow. But it's not an answer. It's a question. It's a question. Two places in the Bible this is referred to in the same terms. Romans chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, hath not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. The second place it shows up is in 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Did you catch it? According to knowledge. According to knowledge. In Romans, Paul says, I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. 1 Peter 3 and 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. So that's our answer. What knowledge? What knowledge? The most important relationship you will ever have is timeless, lasting into eternity, and that's with God. And if you're going to please God, you must relate with Him according to knowledge. Six of you here in this room this morning. Sorry. Four of you in this room this morning are soon to take a vow to someone in marriage. The most intimate relationship on this earth. Many of us here are in various stages of a marriage relationship. The success of those unions, whether it's brand new or it's 67 years, is ultimately determined by whether you dwell with each other according to knowledge. But what knowledge? That is the question. The answer is found in the question, what knowledge? And that's what we're going to focus on this morning. How do we dwell with God according to knowledge? And how do we dwell with our mates according to knowledge? I can't answer how to dwell with your mate according to knowledge. I can't answer that question for you. But God does show us who to ask and how. In our relationship with God, He has a distinct advantage or disadvantage, whichever one you want to call it, of knowing everything about us, so that He has no trouble dwelling with us according to knowledge. He knows us better than we know ourselves. However, we tend to have a great deal of difficulty dealing with Him, dwelling with Him according to knowledge. In our relationships with our mates, or in any relationship, both sides struggle to dwell with one another according to knowledge, because we don't know everything about each other like God does. So in order for this to happen, there has to be a willingness to reveal ourselves. God revealed and reveals Himself to us. Romans 1, starting verse 16. Paul says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. From the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. John chapter 14, starting in verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe for the very work's sake. God has been revealing Himself to mankind ever since the Garden of Eden. A little bit at a time. A little bit at a time. Until the time of Christ. And when Christ came, we got to see. We got to see the Father. God has revealed Himself to us. What about in our marriages? In order for someone to dwell with you according to knowledge, you must make yourself clear to them. You must reveal yourself to them, just as God did for us. I don't care how much they love you, or how you're soulmates, or you were just meant to be with each other, they cannot read your mind. Talk to them about who you are. What are your beliefs about life, the future? What is important? What you struggle with inside? Let them know what you get angry about, frustrated about, excited about, hurt about, scared about. Well, that's easy to say. But there's a problem with that. There's a problem with revealing myself to you. And that is that there's a good chance you won't like me when you find out who I am. when God revealed himself to mankind, was that risky? Yeah. Yeah. When you and I reveal ourselves to someone, is that risky? Absolutely. Rejection is one of the strongest fears humans have. So what do we do? Do we just bleh it all out and hope that they can swim? No. We share a little at a time to determine whether the risk of rejection is high or low. Will this person respond to this information correctly? The more they show that they can respond correctly, the more I'm willing to share. But to avoid the risk altogether, to avoid the risk of opening up altogether, is to guarantee loneliness, which is the fear to start with. God has revealed himself to us, and we must reveal ourselves to one another if our mates are going to dwell with us according to knowledge. But how do I dwell with God and my mate according to knowledge? Or my brethren, or my children, or my co-workers, or my friends? It's true of any relationship you want to think about. What's necessary for me to dwell with them according to knowledge? Number one is time to listen. It doesn't happen by osmosis. It doesn't happen by sleeping with them. It doesn't happen by looking at them. There has to be time to listen. It takes time to focus your attention on them and listen to what they are revealing to you about themselves. We know this is true of God, with our relationship with God. If you want to know God, you're going to need to expose yourself to what he's revealed about himself. You're going to have to go to the source. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is," or else you wouldn't have a relationship to start with, "and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He can be trusted. You're going to have to expose yourself to the source if you're going to dwell with him according to knowledge. John 8, starting in verse 31, says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you want your relationship with God to be good, if you want to be free from the slavery of sin, then you're going to have to know the truth. And he is the source of truth. Paul told Timothy to meditate on these things in 1 Timothy 4 and 15. James tells us, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So we pray to know him better. All part of how we are trying to listen, taking time to listen. What about with our mates? What about in our marriages? Can you just read a book on how to relate to people? Sure, there's about a million of them. I would prefer to just be given a cheat sheet on how to dwell with a wife or how to dwell with a husband according to knowledge. But that only helps a little, because I'm not married to a wife. I'm married to Angie, my wife. Angie's not married to a husband. She's married to me. It takes time. It takes meditating, thinking about them. It requires you to go to the source. Ask them. Listen to them. What do they like? What do they think? What do they feel? Time to listen. The Corinthians the Christians at Corinth were struggling with this a little bit in 1 Corinthians 14. I want to take a quick look at that scripture. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 26 through 32. Now, this is talking about in relationship to their brethren, but it applies regardless. Starting in verse 26. How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done to edifying. If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church. Let him speak to himself and to God. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. For you may all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be comforted, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I call this having a desire to know over a desire to show. A desire to know over a desire to show. These Christians were getting into conflicts, personal conflicts, relationship conflicts with one another because they wanted to have the chance to show everyone just how much they knew. Paul said, you need to have a desire to know rather than a desire to show. The point of all this is to be edified and to learn, not to show how much you know. We must be careful in our relationships with our husbands and wives that we don't assume things about them and get our desire to show how smart we are ahead of our desire to know them. Ignorance can be cured. Number two. To dwell according to knowledge requires humbly submitting. In our relationship with God, in James chapter 4, starting verse 6, James says, But he giveth, God giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. You cannot be close to God and be proud and arrogant. You're going to be running up against a brick wall. Satan was close to God. He was angel of light until he became proud and arrogant, until he thought he knew better than God, and he ran into a brick wall. We can't get close to God or stay close to God if we think we know better than he how to please him. Christ took the first step. Philippians 2, 3 through 8 says, Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Christ humbled himself. He left heaven, he left his Father, and he became a servant to us. He came to serve us. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 16, says, For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Hebrews 4 and 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities or our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Why did Christ humble himself? Why did he go through all this? In part, he did it so he could understand you and me. So that he could understand our weaknesses and our struggles. So he could be affected. If you can imagine that. Why would God care to be affected by us? But it was so he could be affected by us. So that we could cast all of our cares upon him, for he cares for us. He knows what it's like, because he's been there. And he can support us. What about in our marriages? Well, in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh." So just like Christ humbled himself, came down here to know us. He knew us before, didn't he? He knew us before we ever got here, before we were ever created. But he came down and lived with us, experienced with us, maybe just as much for us as him, for us to know that he knew what we go through. We must in our relationships with our husbands and wives humble ourselves. Get the focus off of me. Let them tell me what they need to know. Let them tell me what I need to know to dwell with them according to knowledge. And then submit yourself to them. Allow that information to affect you. It's one thing to know that you hate black. It's another thing to not paint the room black then. Submit yourself to them and allow that information to affect how you relate to them and what you do with them. And the next requirement is alluded to in that scripture we just read. And that is, seek to honor. You notice what it was talking about as far as our relationship with God there in Ephesians 5 we just read. Christ gave himself to the church that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Christ lifts us up to be joint heirs with him. And he honors us. In turn, if we are going to dwell with Christ according to knowledge, we must honor him in our life. Jesus said in Matthew 15 and 8, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That is not a good example. You can't honor somebody with your lips and your mouth, what you say. You can't really honor them completely if it isn't in your heart. It's not enough for us to say we want to be close to Christ and to say things to him and about him that honor him, but our heart's not anywhere near him. The honor needs to come from who we are. It needs to be not just flattery, but we need to mean it. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Don't just say you love me. If you do love me, keep my commandments. Show me that you love me by doing what I want. What about in our marriages? If you want to dwell with your mate according to knowledge, if you want to get close to them, you have got to treat them with honor. Lift them up. Be considerate of their strengths, their weaknesses, their feelings, their thoughts, their preferences over your own. That's how you honor. Not criticize their weaknesses, point out their faults, remind them of their failures. No. You want them to know they are someone of great value to you. To you. You want others to see their value and respect them. You want them to feel more valued when you're relating with them than when you are not. Number four. Love the truth. In our relationship with God, 2 Thessalonians 2 and 10 tells us that the love of the truth is necessary for us to be saved and to have a relationship with God. The love of the truth with God, loving the truth with God, is different than you and I. God is unchanging. If you really know God, you can be sure that those facts won't change. God is unchanging. James 1 and 17. We need a love for the truth in order to be dwelling with God according to knowledge, not because He changes, but because it's deep. His truth is deep, it's absolute, and it requires us to diligently seek Him, to know Him. But in our marriages, it's a completely different story. And this is important, very important for us to remember. With our mates, a love for the truth is necessary to dwell with them according to knowledge. Not because it's unchanging, but because it's always changing. It's always changing. It's always changing and growing. Sometimes I hear husbands or wives say that they just don't understand why their mate's upset with them for being a certain way, because they've been that way ever since they knew them. It's really tempting for me to say, so you were a jerk when they married you and you're still a jerk. I don't say that. That would be tactless. But that statement doesn't carry any weight. This is not our philosophy, hopefully. Our mate is changing just as we are changing with life. So it is necessary to continue to seek diligently the truth. Love the truth. Love to find out what the truth about them is, so that you can continue to honor, love, and respect them. And that doesn't matter if you've been married a month or 67 years. Hopefully Dad and Mom are still loving the truth. They're still learning. Don't cry foul. That's not fair. You weren't like that before. Listen. Love the truth. And the last one was kind of a surprising one to me. If you're going to live with somebody according to knowledge, or dwell with somebody according to knowledge, you need to search their spirit. Now, in our relationship with God, this is described in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 11. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. We see God through his Spirit. His Spirit reveals God to us. We see his goodness. We see that every good and perfect gift is from God. How do we see it? By the function of his Spirit. We see his love and his mercy for mankind. But what about with our mates? What about in our marriages? Well, as I just read, mankind reveals himself to others through his Spirit. It is a person's spirit that tells you who they really are. If you take a little snapshot of somebody for a moment, and you stick it up on the wall and you say, that's them. No, it's not. No, it's not. That depends on which moment you got. Our mate's spirit tells us who they really are. How do we learn to listen to each other's spirit? How do you do that? Who are they really down deep in their soul? Where is the steel in them that you can only press so far, and then you're going to find out who they really are? Good or bad, that's not a negative context. Where is the steel in them? What is the fiber of their being? Who can they not help but be? Are the fruits of their spirit similar to the fruits of God's Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Are these characteristics present when no one is watching? Are they willing to suffer and sacrifice to maintain those characteristics? So dwell with them according to knowledge. Whether you're talking about dwelling with God or your mates or your children or anyone. If you fail at this with God, then you'll spend an eternity in torment. If you fail at this with your mate, you will be tormented in your relationship for what might seem like an eternity. God shows us how to do this. Listen to the authority on God. God. Listen to the authority on your mate. Your mate. Humbly submit yourself to them and their best interest. Seek to lift them up and honor them. Never stop desiring to know the truth about them. Seek to understand their spirit. Never stop diligently seeking God, and never stop diligently seeking to dwell with your mate according to knowledge. And let what you learn affect your life with them. In our relationship with God, He's already done all the giving. He's done all the giving. He's taken our fear of risk and just blown it out of the water. He's done all the giving. all the sacrificing, all the humbling, all the forgiving. He's risked it all to give you and I the ability to draw nigh to Him. If we are not close to God, it is not because He has not done enough. If you're standing around and waiting for God to get closer to you, you've missed it. If we're not close to Him, it's because we failed to dwell with Him according to knowledge. If you have not accepted God's invitation to love you, support you, bear your burdens, lift you up, He still wants that more than anything. But it's not up to Him. He's done all His part. Nothing more He can do. It's up to you. It's up to you. The choice is yours. If you have accepted Him but have fallen away from dwelling with Him according to knowledge, again, He wants nothing more than your relationship with Him to be restored. That's His point. He wants a relationship with you. But the choice is yours. It's up to you. Will you dwell with Him according to knowledge? Will we dwell with our mates according to knowledge? That's the question. The invitation is yours as we stand and sing.